The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The late Robert Jensen, 20th century Lutheran theologian, published his 2-volume Systematic Theology. In volume 2 of that work, Jensen deals with the doctrine of creation, and particularly with the creation of humanity. He seeks the wisdom of Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3 to exegete that which is distinctive about humanity. And Jensen notes that what differentiates humans from the other animals is, and I quote, "We are the ones addressed by God's moral word and so enabled to respond." He continues, "We are called to pray. If we will, the odd creature of the sixth day of creation can, after all, be classified. We are the praying animals." Earlier in the 20th century, the theologian Karl Barth had said that humanity is the species that has been addressed by God. We have been spoken to by God. That's what makes us different. But Jensen takes it a step further. We're not only those that God addresses, but we are also those enabled to respond. We are the praying animals. In Jensen's creation theology, it is for prayer that we were created. "Teach us to pray," the disciples demanded of Jesus. "Teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray." They don't know how to pray, at least not in the spirit of Jesus. So they ask for instruction. Now, Fred Buechner will remind you that everyone prays and often doesn't even know it when they're praying. When there's that great, as the fireworks flashed across the night sky, Buechner says, that's prayer. When there's that moment of the anguished, why me? question we ask when something terrible happens to ourselves or to those we love. Victor says that's prayer too. But in our gospel, Jesus responds to his followers with a model prayer. Jesus responds to us with a model prayer. And Luke's record of this prayer is more concise than the version in Matthew. In paraphrase, Father, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom. Give us the bread that we need for today. Forgive us for the ways we've wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation. Sometimes it's helpful to hear the words of those kinds of prayers a little differently, so we have to pause and think. Here's Eugene Peterson's version. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father, reveal who you are. Set the world aright. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. And keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. Here's what I'm saying, Peterson continues his paraphrase. Ask and you'll get, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened. And friends in Christ, we were created for this. In Jensen's imagery, we were created for prayer, for a dialogue with God, to be addressed by that moral word and to be able to respond. We are the ones addressed by God's word and able to respond to pray. Elsewhere in his teachings, Jesus warns us not to heap up empty words when we pray, so we keep it concise here. And keep it simple. Here we pray that we do not drag God's good name into our pet crusades and causes, as if our will is God's will. Here we pray for God's coming kingdom, God's reign in all and in our all, so that we may be those who reflect God's kingdom by the way we live. Here we pray for enough bread, daily bread. And in so doing, we considerably limit the material good that we can pray for. Pray for your daily bread. Pray for that which you must have, not for all the extra stuff. Here we pray to be forgiven. And, don't miss this, we pray for everyone who has wronged us, proclaiming what we promise to give to God, which is forgiveness of those who have wronged us. And we pray that we won't be led into temptation, confessing our capability to fail the test of faithfulness. Mother Teresa famously said, I do not pray for success. I pray for faithfulness. And that's it. If we're going to pray as Jesus taught, we're going to pray for a few basic things. And if we pray like Jesus taught us, we are signing on to live as Jesus taught us. Praying for God's reign among us, that we might reflect that reign. Praying to forgive others for their wrongs against us. And that's not easy. And for daily bread, which implies some responsibility for our neighbors who perish from too little bread, while others of us perish from too much bread. Take note. There are no prayers for good health here. There are no prayers for happier, easier, stress-filled lives here. There are no prayers for material prosperity beyond basic sustenance. So in the giving of his Lord's Prayer, Jesus judges some of our prayers as not being worthy. Those are the prayers that he doesn't teach us to pray, the ones we're meant to cast off. Perhaps this Lord's Prayer provides a way for followers of Jesus
to discipline themselves over what not to pray for. Today at the 9:15 service downstairs, we celebrated the sacrament of holy baptism. We baptized twin brothers. And the whole people of God assembled was addressed. You've heard the words before. People of God at Trinity Lutheran Church, do you promise to support Ethan and Caleb and pray for them in their new lives in Christ? And we respond in one voice, we do. We'll pray not for their good fortune or their future successful careers. We won't pray for tantrum-free years as toddlers, or for their diligence in preparing for the entrance exams to a good college. No. We'll pray for their lives in Christ, for their faithfulness. For to pray in Jesus' name is about as big a challenge as living in Jesus' name. Perhaps there's supposed to be just a very thin red line between our praying and our living for those of us who've been addressed by God's moral word. So give thanks, because Jesus does tell us to go ahead and ask, to go ahead and pray. Give thanks, for he says, knock, the door will be opened. For if your good friends don't deny your urgent requests, how much more so will God not deny you? We've been created to pray, and we've been given a prayer that teaches us a way to live, that we might pray rightly in Christ's name. Amen.